We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Let me get that right. You are going to freeze deportations?
Freeze deportations for the first 100 days. And only people will be deported are people who committed a felony while here. That's number one. I lost that.
Yeah, line. Well, but that's good because we could talk you and I on that.
Okay.
But it's
think about where we are today.
There were more than
fire that sucker off.
And the evil one crept up and slipped away with her.
That's my false setup.
Bad and bougie.
Excuse me, Tim. I lost that line. I don't know where am I. What's going on, brother?
I'm Joe Biden, and I forgot this message.
That's it. I'm not even quite sure where I am. Where am I going tomorrow? Oh, Florida. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Man, Mark, have you been watching? So the media covers Joe Biden at their own peril, because if you noticed over the last few days when they're talking about his previous positions on things or comparing and contrasting, or they're trying to play a clip from ancient history of like 18 months ago or 24 yeah. months ago to support his position now. When you look at Joe Biden from 2016 or 2017, it's a different person. And that's the God's honest truth. Joe Biden, this is not us conservatives bashing Joe Biden because we're making fun of him. He has truly slipped a notch or two. It's sad, Mark. It is shameful what the Democratic Party is doing to this 78-year-old gentleman who has dedicated his life to public service. I mean, he can't look at a piece of paper and figure out which reporter with a pre-rehearsed question he's supposed to call on next. I watched that press conference, I think it was last week, where he's like, okay, so he's looking at the paper, right? And he's at this podium, and it's all these friendly reporters, I think in Delaware again, where he lives, and he's going, okay, so, yeah, I'm supposed to do, let's see, we were on number three. So, okay, number five is Mary. Mary, where's Mary? You know, I mean, it's rough to watch, Mark. How does that guy get through a debate? Do they pump him up with 12,000 milligrams of vitamin B and give him some oxygen before he goes on the stage? I mean, how is he going to get through a three-hour debate with the young, vibrant man of Donald Trump, you know?
You got to wonder, and I know a lot of people are looking forward to that in 8 days. Can you believe it's only 8 days away? I've still got people speculating that there's no way that's going to happen, that sometime between now and then his staff will claim that he's been exposed to COVID, and for the president's safety, he needs to stay in his basement, but they'll still do it remotely, where, of course, his staff can feed him answers.
Right. They can hand him cue cards. They can write it in big, big type. They can use, you know, giant magic markers and simple one-word answers, right? And I was hoping that the Chris Wallace debate – and look, you know, I understand the knocks on Chris Wallace. You know, it'd be nice if he'd be a little tougher on liberals and a little more, honest on the accomplishments of Donald Trump and conservatives. But Wallace is the best you're going to get, right, when you're dealing with CNN and MSNBC. And at first I was like, well, I want Wallace to wrap things up. Well, the problem with that, Mark, is by the time we get to the third debate, which is really the fourth debate, right, because you have the VP debate in there, right, people have largely tuned out, right? So I've changed my mind on that. I like Wallace out of the gate because it's the best, most fair moderator we're going to get, and you might as well get Biden first before they have a time to say, okay, we did one debate, now he's, like you said, contracted malaria or something, and we're going to have to, you know, lock him in the lower level. So,
well, if he had malaria, we could give him hydroxychloroquine. Apparently that's a pretty effective treatment, I hear.
Oh, don't you bring up that witch doctor voodoo stuff again, you know. Yeah, Mark. I mean, have you seen the latest studies on that? You know why you don't hear about hydroxychloroquine anymore? Because the finality of the final studies basically said it's absolutely fine under a doctor's care,
right,
like we on the conservative side of the world have declared from day one. We've never said dispense it like a gumball machine. we've said under a doctor's care. You know, I interviewed former governor of Kansas, Dr. Jeff Collier, very early on in this. He wrote an op-ed back in March in the Wall Street Journal about hydroxychloroquine, a drug that he has taken for decades because he's one of those kind-hearted souls that is Doctors Without Borders. And he's been traveling to, you know, bizarre far reaches of the world for a lot of his career. And he said, Tim, I've been on a hydroxychloroquine maintenance regimen for decades. And when prescribed in the proper dosages under the care of a doctor, it's an excellent prophylactic against malaria. And he gave me the science as to why they think it helps prevent the further development of the COVID-19 coronavirus.
Yes. And earlier last week, I had Dr. Steve Crawford on the show again for the third time. He's a Jefferson County doctor who told me that he knows physicians who would never admit it publicly who are taking hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic because yeah, they don't never, because they're treating people with COVID and they don't want to get it.
Right. You can never beat enough sense into the minds of left-wing liberals, Mark, because it all just drops out the other side.
I know. You know. You know, we haven't talked about RBG yet, and I pointed out earlier that, you know, I think the president handled this very well when he, from the moment he was first informed of it after his speech the other night, where he praised her, career, called her a great woman, turned around and got on the airplane, has announced that he will announce a nominee. But he's going to wait until the end of this week after the services for her are over. And then he's going to move forward with this, Tim, as he should.
Absolutely, Mark. And that was what, you know, not that the Donald calls me every night and asks my advice, but he seems to follow my suggestions. And I basically said the same thing, Mark. I said, you know, you give Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who is a preeminent jurist, Mark, as an attorney, I can respect her work, even though I disagree with it. I can be very Scalia-esque, right? Justice Scalia and Justice Ginsburg were best friends because they could be civil with each other and agree to be disagreeable, but yet still be good friends. That's what Democrats and Republicans used to do back in the old days of Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, of Newt Gingrich and Bill Clinton. Nowadays, the left is so dead set on power that they just leave destruction in their wake, and they have no friends anymore.
Right.
So he treated this exactly as I would have suggested he do. Give her her space, give her her time, give her a memorial, but then move on with the people's business. Selecting Supreme Court judges was one of the preeminent reasons why Donald Trump got elected. And if you don't believe that, then all you need to do is flip on MSDNC or the Clinton News or the Communist News Network, and you can see how freaked out they are about the fact that Donald Trump's going to get a third. Can you believe it? A third Supreme Court pick. This may be one of the most consequential presidencies in the history of our nation as Donald Trump reshapes the Supreme Court into a constitutionally conservative court. We can't go into an election, Mark, where the Democrats are going to contest it, fight it, and argue against it after all the results and returns have come in with a 4-4 split majority. Why do I say 4-4? Because we never know where frickin' Roberts is going to land, right? And so we might as well, you presume the worst, as an attorney, Mark, I can tell you, always presume the worst case scenario and hope for the best. And I would presume the worst case scenario is going to be a 4-4 split on any kind of election case that comes before them. So you better put another constitutional conservative on there. And I love how, you know, back in the day when Mitt Romney talked about the binders of women, it basically, you know, ended his presidential run amongst a lot of other failures. It was just a horribly run campaign. But, you know, he would talk about that and he'd get pilloried for it. Donald Trump now comes out and says, I've got a wall of women to choose from, and it's going to be a woman, and I like them better than men, you know, and it's wonderful because he's embracing it, right? You embrace these things and you say, this is exactly what I'm going to do. That's why the American people love him, because of his just principled dedication and refusal to run from any challenge before him. And I think Amy Coney Barrett or Justice Lagoa, either one of them would be excellent choices. They'll be on the court for decades, and they're going to be strong lady leader constitutional conservatives, which the left absolutely hates.
At least he didn't say he had binders of women. Like Mitt Romney. Remember that comment when Romney said that, and the media just pilloried the dude for doing that? I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and Mark, wait for the latest unseemly underbelly of the left to be exposed, because if it's Amy Coney Barrett, the Catholic bigotry and hate will be turned up to the I'm going to make an old Spinal Tap reference. It'll be turned up to 11, you know, and you're going to witness religious discrimination and prejudice like you've never seen before, because the left loves to always pick and choose what they like from something. And so they love the social justice warrior stance of the Catholic Church. And I say this as a Catholic, as to illegal immigration, but you never hear them reference the Catholic Church's position on life and when life begins, and that abortion is something that should be, you know, ended as a barbaric practice. And so they're not, this is all about abortion to them. Trust me.
I agree.
Boiling it down to that may be a little too simplistic, but Mark, they are terrified. They have been terrified from day one that the horribly written decision of Roe v. Wade, which we can get into that some other day. It was judicial gymnastics. If you actually look at that decision, they created this right to an abortion out of whole cloth based on a right of privacy that doesn't exist in the Constitution either. So it was a right that was not in the Constitution, created from a right that wasn't in the Constitution. And that's how you came up with Roe v. Wade. If you read actual legal scholars, even those on the left, they will tell you that Roe v. Wade was built on sand on top of a house of cards.
I love it. It's a great point. Wait for them to attack the Knights of Columbus next as a terrorist organization. You know they've done that before, too. It's coming.
Terrorist organization.
Stand by.
It's coming.
Tim, have a great day, buddy.
Hey, Mark. Thanks, gang. Good to hear. Yep. Good to hear from you.
Thanks,
talk
Tim.
To you soon.
Hope to see you soon. Tim Jones there. Listen to him every Sunday night here from 7 to 9 on 971 FM Talk.
Get more at 971talk.com.